Oyez, oyez, oyez. The Honorable Supreme Court of Texas. All persons having business before the Honorable, the Supreme Court of Texas are admonished to draw near and give their attention, for the court is now sitting. God save the state of Texas and this honorable court.
Thank you. Be seated. This morning, the court has four causes on its oral submission docket. Assuming that the fog lifts, we will complete all four of these arguments before we break for lunch. And we'll take a brief recess in between each argument.
Fog outside of the
He's outside. Some of our counsel aren't here. In the order in which these arguments will be presented, they are as follows. In the matter of NJA from Harris County, Rosa Rodriguez versus Service Lloyds Insurance Company from Harris County, Ken Fitzgerald versus Advanced Spine Fixation Systems, a certified question from the United States Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit, and Hyundai Motor Company and others versus Rowena Rodriguez, by and through Andrea Rodriguez from Hidalgo County. In each of these matters, the court has allotted 20 minutes for oral argument. The petitioner or appellant may reserve a portion of that time for rebuttal by advising the marshal of our court. These arguments are being taped, and you may purchase a tape of any argument for a nominal fee from the clerk. Mr. Al Gonzalez, who will join our court at the first of next year, is here in the audience. Secretary Gonzalez, soon to be Justice Gonzalez, we welcome you. Court is now ready to hear argument from petitioner in the matter of NJA.
May it please the court, Mr. Alan Curry will present argument for the petitioner. Petitioner has reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal.
May it please the court. My name is Alan Curry. I'm from the Harris County District Attorney's Office, and I represent the state of Texas in this case. This case presents this court with a form of statutory construction which will impact our cases that are currently being presented in juvenile court. The statute has been changed somewhat, but what this court decides today will continue to have an effect on how quickly juvenile cases have to be presented. The state is urging this court not to allow a juvenile court to lose jurisdiction over a juvenile defendant absent a claim of delay or lack of diligence in the Department of State or the trial court.
Under your construction of the statute, how long would the juvenile court have jurisdiction once a juvenile turned 18?
Assuming an allegation or a finding of juvenile delinquency had been made or other conduct in need of supervision had been made before the juvenile turned 18, it would continue until, depending on the disposition made. The only disposition it would allow beyond the age of 18 would, as I pointed out in my brief, is the disposition of the Texas Youth Commission.
But you could indefinitely have 3-4 years to get this matter to trial in juvenile court after the juvenile turned 18?
Theoretically, Your Honor, but probably at that point you'd be dealing with a claim of delay or lack of diligence on the part of the state that took several years.
There's a speedy trial problem.
It would be essentially a speedy trial problem.
Well, you've already got a year built into the statutory scheme as it existed when this case came to trial, don't you?
Right.
And why isn't that enough time under the statute to get the matter to trial, a year?
Well, that's what the legislature has provided for, Your Honor. And that appears to be based on clear wording of the language. And there's no inconsistency with the rest of the statute to Chapter 51 and all through Chapter 54 to Chapter 56 for that matter. There is no inconsistency in allowing that one-year time period. And again, there is no claim of delay. There's never been a claim of delay.
Why did it get to trial within the one-year period?
The record reflects that initially we had attempted an attempt to transfer this case to the adult court through a transfer hearing or a waiver of jurisdiction hearing. And that failed, and there were just other attempts made to deal with juvenile, and we decided that the commitment to the Texas Youth Commission would be the secondary option.
Is it true that there's no speedy trial complaint by the defendant?
No, there has been no allegation of delay or any kind of liability to the state or the trial court.
Why didn't you move under Section 54002? Why didn't you renew a motion to transfer to the criminal district court, which 5402 002 would allow you?
Not being trial lawyer, I'm not positive about that, Your Honor, but I suspect it would just probably be best that this case remain in juvenile court.
If you had done that, this would not have fallen through the cracks, is that correct?
That is true, but there are cases in which prosecutor may justifiably and correctly feel that a transfer to the adult court would not be in the best interest of the child, and that the child should remain in the juvenile court, and that option would not always be available in those circumstances.
Your interpretation of the section of statute at issue requires us to focus on when the state makes an allegation or files its pleading or complaint against the juvenile, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
But the statute is written in terms of focusing on the child as opposed to the allegation, isn't it?
Well, I think it's focused on both, Your Honor.
Well, the statute reads that child means a person who is 17 years of age or older and under 18 years of age, correct?
Yes.
And then the additional language is descriptive in terms of going who is alleging or has been engaged in delinquent conduct when they are a certain age.
I agree with that, Your Honor. If the legislature had intended for things to just cut off at 18, they would have just added a period at the end of 18 and 5102.
Well, not if we're talking about acts that had to occur before the child turned age 17, because that's additional descriptive language. In addition to being between 17 and 18 years of age, the alleged wrongful conduct has to have occurred while the child was 17. Additional descriptive language, isn't it?
Well, the conduct always has to occur before the child turned 17. I don't believe that the language is merely descriptive. I think the legislature merely would have ended it with a period and just allowed for no jurisdiction of the juvenile court over an act that occurred before the juvenile.
Well, how do you explain how we should read this particular provision of the statute so that our focus is not upon the child, but instead upon the state's action in bringing its complaint against the child?
Well, I think it should be viewed on both, Your Honor. We're not contending that the age of the child should be irrelevant. The age of the child is something to be considered. And the juvenile court maintains exclusive original jurisdiction over acts that occurred before the child turned 17.
It maintains jurisdiction over the child.
Right.
Correct?
Yes, over the child and the allegations, assuming the transfer is there.
So tell us how you would have us read this statute so that jurisdiction would not terminate when the child turned 18?
Well, jurisdiction would not terminate when the child turned 18 if a disposition is ultimately to be made to the Texas Youth Commission. That is the only disposition that is allowed to be continued beyond that.
Well, I understand, but we're not focusing it. I understand that that's another provision of the statute, but we're not looking at that provision of the family code right now. We're looking specifically at the definition of child, since we're trying to decide what the original exclusive jurisdiction of the court over a child is, correct?
Yes.
All right, so how would you have us read 51.022B so that we would reach the result that you're asking us to reach?
If the state makes an allegation or a finding of delinquent conduct is made after the child has turned 17, but before the child has turned 18, will under Section 5104A maintain exclusive original jurisdiction over that child during that time period. If the allegation is made after the child turns 18 or if the finding is made, both are made after the child turns 18, that obviously is going to be too late. But that does not occur in this case. Well, the allegation was made before the child turned 18, after the child turned 17, based on an act before the child turned 17. That would be sufficient to allow the juvenile court to maintain jurisdiction.
When was the finding?
The finding was made after the child turned 18, ultimately.
Well, you just said if it was made before the child.
No, it's an or. The statute says or, Your Honor. If there's an allegation made or a finding was made before. In this case, the allegation was made.
But the finding was not until the
child turned 18. That's correct. And this would be consistent with the rest of the statutory scheme. As set forth in our brief and Section 5404E, the Texas Youth Commission is required to accept a child properly committed to it by a juvenile court, even when the child has maintained the age of 17 years of age or older at the time of the commitment. I know that that's not necessarily determinative of the action, but it still reveals that there's no inconsistent argument that we're making with the rest of the statutory scheme set forth in the county code. Also, in 5405B, when was amended in 1985, allowed for a commitment to the Texas Youth Commission to proceed beyond the age of 18. The respondent has, and the Court of Appeals has correctly, I think, or at least justifiably relied on a dicta in the Court of Criminal Appeals decision, Ex parte Mercado, which dealt with a prior version of the statute. In that case, the court held the juvenile status of a person who ceased to be a child after the age of 18 could no longer be prosecuted to dealt with by the juvenile court. That case, that was certainly dictated in that case, but it's also dealing with a prior version of the statute, which was amended in 1985. 5405B was amended to allow for the Minister of the Texas Youth Commission to proceed beyond that period. So the state would urge this court not to either follow Ex parte Mercado or certainly recognize that it was dicta and certainly not controlling under the current version of the statute. The state would urge this court to follow the long line of admittedly not directly on point cases from several courts of appeals throughout the state that hold that when the juvenile court's jurisdiction is properly invoked, as it was in this case, i.e., we all concede that at some point in time the juvenile court did properly have jurisdiction over the juvenile defendant. That jurisdiction should continue even though it reaches an age.
But in every one of those cases, it involved a transfer to the district court, did it not?
Yes, Your Honor.
Which is specifically contemplated by the statute.
Right. As I can see in my brief, there are no cases directly on point. Essentially, this court is dealing with, I can't believe it, but it is a case of first impression. This particular situation apparently is never in front of this court, or at least any other court of appeals for a published opinion. I haven't been able to find them. So, but it is going to be some significance. The current version of the statute does allow for a waiver of an objection to jurisdiction if the defendant does not make that objection at the time of the hearing. But if the defendant does make the objection at the time of the hearing, the trial court is going to have to rule in accordance with how this court rules in this case today.
How many cases are there like this? Other cases?
I'm not aware of any.
Is this generally a problem that you can't get the juveniles to trial before they're 18?
I suspect, Your Honor, I'm only generally aware, and this is probably getting a little out of time, but I'm generally aware that juvenile crime is being increased a little bit, and that may increase the docket loads. But I'm not specifically aware of any problem, so to speak. But in a county as large as Harris, you're going to confront problems where it takes a little bit longer to proceed.
If the juvenile court has jurisdiction, can a felony district court or an adult court have jurisdiction?
No, Your Honor. If they properly have jurisdiction, then the adult court cannot have jurisdiction.
Can an adult court get jurisdiction of a child that is 17 years or younger? If I commit a crime at 16, can the adult court take jurisdiction?
No, Your Honor. No.
If I commit a crime at 17, can the adult court take jurisdiction?
They can. In specific situations, they can.
But if the statute says that if the allegation is for a crime committed before they turn 17,
yes,
then the adult court can take jurisdiction.
No. An adult court can take jurisdiction in that situation, Your Honor, only if a transfer is made.
Well, that's right.
But the transfer did not occur.
Without the juvenile court transferring the case, it cannot occur.
Right. But the juvenile court can get itself a jurisdiction.
The allegation is made between the ages of 18, before the child reaches the age of 18, then an allegation is made that a crime was committed before the child reached 18. Can that be brought by indictment in an adult court?
It can be, Your Honor. If the case originally fell in juvenile court, it can fall in adult district court. The only way that can happen is through a waiver of jurisdiction.
Waiver of jurisdiction.
A transfer of jurisdiction from the juvenile court to the criminal district court.
If the juvenile statute is read beyond the 18 years of age, if the juvenile statute is read as you recommend, if the
that statute, does that create a problem with adults being charged with a crime that was committed after they were turned 17, but before they were 18, and having to be brought in juvenile court and having to have a transfer?
No, Your Honor, the delinquent conduct has to occur before the child turns 17. So there is not going to be a situation where adult conduct is going to be at all dealt with by the statute.
Let me get a clarification on your take of the other side argument. If a person who is 16 commits a crime for which they can be charged, is charged in juvenile court when they are 17, and disposition is not achieved until after they turn 18, the argument of the other side is that person walks.
As I understand it, yes.
And so the consequence here is that this person who had been convicted of murder would be set free and would be subject to no further charges.
That is correct. I don't want to speak for them. That's not my understanding of their
argument. May I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
Is your argument that unless the court holds, as you suggest, then the state will have to try in juvenile court juveniles who fall under this statute before they reach 18?
Yes, we will. The actual finding of the conduct will have to be made before the child turns 18.
And so that's the sole basis for your real argument to this court, that it's going to force the state to try a juvenile in a juvenile court.
Yes, Your Honor,
within a year's period of time.
That is correct.
And what's wrong with that policy?
Well, there's nothing wrong with it except in this bifurcation, Your Honor, there is no claim of delay. There is no claim.
Well, that's not the point. Your opening argument indicated that this case has far-reaching implications, not just for this particular child, but for all kinds of cases that fall in this category. So why should we have a policy that permits the state to delay for whatever reason beyond 18 under the scheme of the state?
I think absent a claim of delay or a claim of lack of diligence, Your Honor, that the state should be allowed to continue with a proceeding as long as it is proceeding diligently. I think the juvenile court should be allowed to control its heavy docket load that it may have, especially in a large county such as Harris County.
But if the legislature has determined that the jurisdiction of the juvenile court has an outside limit, then the juvenile court lacks the power after that limit is reached to act with respect to that juvenile. It's not a question just of constitutional implication, is it?
No, I agree with you. I mean,
if the court has no power because the legislature said this is the end of the jurisdiction, then that's an entirely different question.
That's true. That's true. No, I fully agree with that. I mean, I do admit that there is a point at which I lose.
And the point at which you lose is if charges are not brought, if allegations are not made before they are 18.
Yes, Your Honor.
As long as the allegations are made before they're 18, the court doesn't lose jurisdiction.
That is our position.
Any other questions?
Mr. Curry, I was curious. This child was charged with killing somebody with a baseball bat?
Yes, Your Honor. As a party, this isn't the actual individual who wielded the bat, but she was charged as a party. What would be 702 of the Texas Code?
She is currently in custody.
No, Your Honor. I believe she's still out on bond. There is a provision in Chapter 56 of Connecticut that allows juvenile court to release her. I believe that's what she's still doing.
She was represented by counsel at the time at the adjudication hearing.
Yes, Your Honor.
Was there any objection to the fact that the court lacked power or jurisdiction at the time she was before the court?
Yes, Your Honor.
The defense counsel. And the child challenged the court's jurisdiction or power?
I'm not sure exactly what point. I was in court when the objection was made, and the court really disagreed with the objection.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel. The court is ready to hear argument from respondent.
May it please the court, Gary M. Pollan will present argument for the respondent.
May I please the court? My name is Gary Collins, and I represent NJA.
the respondent in this case. For clarification purposes, the respondent was adjudicated delinquent in the 315th District Court of Harris County for aggravated assault. As the court well knows, this case was appealed to the first court of appeals. They reversed and ordered a dismissal of the case, with the major theory of their opinion being that the case no longer had jurisdiction, that the juvenile court had lost jurisdiction over NJA because she was over 18 at the time of the hearing. And to clarify Justice Gonzalez's questions, I was the trial attorney. I was the certification attorney of this case. And we objected prior to the trial, the actual case, that the court had lost jurisdiction and were overruled by the judge and went forward.
Why can it not be a fair interpretation of the statute that as long as allegations are made or charges are brought before the person turns 18, that jurisdiction vests in the juvenile court?
Because that's not what the law states. The law states the jurisdiction goes to the juvenile court if the conduct occurs prior to age 17. And,
right.
And then the state is given the opportunity to file on that conduct between ages 17 and 18 and has to dispose of the case during that time.
Read the specific language of the statute that says it must be disposed of before 18.
Well, the language states, in defining jurisdiction of what a child is, that a child is either from 10 to 17 for the purposes of the juvenile code, or 17 years of age or older and under 18, who is alleged to have found engaged in delinquent conduct before becoming 17. So the definition of child gives us the guide as to where we need to go and where the jurisdiction lies. In this case...
But it doesn't say anything about disposing of it before they're 18.
Well, it says you have to... It does, because it says 17 years of age or older and under 18 who is alleged to or have found to have been engaged in delinquent conduct prior to becoming 17.
It says alleged to.
But you have to have that done within the year, is what the statute states.
And the allegation was made before they were turned 18.
The allegation was made prior to reaching age 18 about the delinquent conduct.
Well, I don't understand why that doesn't fit within the prescription.
Well, because you have to find it, you have to be over 17, under 18, which gives you the time period when you have to make that finding. There is no restriction when you're under 17, because that's not a problem. So the legislature's told us that you have to get these cases disposed of by age 18.
And the problem I'm having is I can't see the language that you're talking about that says that disposition has to be achieved before turning 18. Where is that language?
Well, that's where we go to Ex parte Mercado.
Okay, leave that aside. Tell me where the language is in the statute that says that disposition has to be achieved before they turn 18.
It's the interpretation of the language.
Okay, but so what you're
saying... There's nothing in here that says anything about the word disposition isn't used. I mean, that's clear. But likewise, the legislature could have put in here if they wanted to broaden the time when the child could be brought to trial for delinquent conduct that occurred prior to age 17.
So
could have said 19, they could have said 20, they could have said 21, but they didn't. They chose to say between age 17 and under age 18.
So let me get it clear that you can see that the statute does not require on its face that disposition be achieved before they turn 18.
I would concede that the definition of child for jurisdictional purposes doesn't use the word disposition. Mm-hmm. Well, I believe that the statute does say that you have to take care of this matter between that time period.
Well, what it requires, though, isn't it, a child be between the ages of 17 and 18 years of age. I mean, that's the descriptive
the
of
jurisdictional
who the person is for jurisdictional purposes.
I agree.
And the additional language in the statute, as I understand your argument, is that it's descriptive in terms of further describing the child and the kind of conduct the child engaged in.
I agree with you.
So the initial threshold language in the statute is a child 17 years between 17 and 18 years of age.
Exactly. I mean, if you don't get past that, then it's over. And that was the argument that we made to the trial court, that the court had lost jurisdiction. Now, the position...
Why put alleged or in the statute?
Well, because the conduct has to be alleged to have occurred before age 17.
But it doesn't matter if it is or not. Under your theory, if it's not adjudicated, that's the determining factor.
Well, I guess there's two requirements. First requirement is, if you're under age 17, you're a juvenile under our law. If you're over 17, you're an adult, and your conduct goes to adult court. So the first requirement is that the conduct you engage in has to take place prior to the age of 17. That's the threshold question. That's why the first definition of child is the way it is.
And the second issue then becomes, if the conduct occurred prior to 17, we're still going to give the state an opportunity, because obviously you could have conduct committed at age 16, 364 days into that year, but you're still a juvenile under the eyes of the law. Obviously, under that scenario, the state's not going to be able to get the case tried within a day. So the statute gives the state a year to take care of their business in this case. And if there's a problem, and the state has talked about it, maybe they didn't have enough time, the juvenile courts have gotten busier, that's certainly something that could be responded to, but not legislated by this court, but responded to by the legislature, and the state certainly has that opportunity to ask the legislature to give them more time. I'd also point out...
Why put alleged or in the statute? I understand that you, it's not consistent with your policy argument, but why put it in there?
Well, all I can do is rely on what the Court of Criminal Appeals said, and in their opinion, ex parte Mercado, where they said they don't believe the legislature intended to impede adult prosecution of adjudicated delinquents for offenses committed between their 17th and 18th birthdays. They believe a reasonable interpretation of the statutory provisions is that it's not subject to prosecution as an adult for an offense against the penal code committed prior to 17, save for those specifically accepted by the penal code section 807B, or in which the juvenile court waives its jurisdiction, which, by the way, they tried to do in this case. The juvenile court tried to certify NJA as an adult, and they were unsuccessful.
So what that means is that in those situations when certification is unsuccessful, that alone is going to pretty much put this case in the cracks and frequently allow the person who may have committed a crime to walk.
Well, the state had an opportunity to get this case tried prior to that if they were concerned about the age of 18. I think they just ignored her age and didn't realize it was a problem. I'd also point out, if we go to the logical conclusion of what the state is asking you to do, there is no limit on when people could be tried in juvenile court. We could have people that are 22 and 23 and 24 and 25 if the state can argue.
The speedy trial would take care of that.
Well, I think the best way to look at speedy trial is since we got rid of the statutory speedy trial act, at least on the criminal side, how many cases have been reversed on speedy trial grounds? The answer is not many. And the state could have excuses, certainly in courts like Harris County, which some of you have familiarity with big dockets and things going slowly, that there is a reason why cases don't get reached. But under the state's interpretation, absent speedy trial, which is not an issue in this case, juvenile jurisdiction would be continuing on and could go on for many years.
We'd have there 25-year-olds who have been tried?
No.
22-year-olds.
But
are there?
Not that I'm aware of. And the other part, the other thing I want to address, because y'all talked about, which the argument involving the Texas Youth Commission. The Texas Youth Commission and what the Texas Youth Commission's rules are really have nothing to do with the facts in this case. First, a youth that has to be committed, there has to be properly committed, which means the court has to have jurisdiction to do so. After that, the Texas Youth Commission can make the decision itself whether a child can be held till age 21. So we're not talking about a court ordering it, it's the commission's decision. And trying to craft the Texas Youth controls over juveniles who were adjudicated delinquent and sent there, and linking that back to the Texas Family Code 5102 child definition, I think is absurd and not within the legislative intent of this case. The Texas Youth Commission, in cases where, well, let's take a scenario like this. Let's say that we had a case where we were in that age period of 17 to 18, and we went past 18 like we did in the case of NJA, but instead of the judge adjudicating the juvenile delinquent and deciding that the child's going to go to Texas Youth Council, they want to send the child and send the child to a probation or probation with supervision of the chief juvenile probation officer, which is what would be allowed to be done. It's a less onerous sentence for juveniles. Well, under the theories advocated by the state, they would concede that, in fact, that the state had lost jurisdiction over this child because the commitment was not to the Texas Youth Council, but instead to something else.
Could the trial court on its own motion, once the child had turned 18, and could it have waived jurisdiction and sent her to the criminal district court?
No.
Why not?
Because the conduct occurred prior to age 17.
But doesn't the statute specifically say once the child is 18 or over, the trial court may waive jurisdiction if it finds certain factors?
Well, we already had the certification. In this case, we had the certification hearing in front of the judge.
Under the statute, after the child turned 18, the statute specifically says in subsection B that when the child is 18 or older, the judge may waive jurisdiction if certain factors are met. So your theory that the judge totally loses jurisdiction doesn't wash with that statute.
Well, the judge lost jurisdiction in this instance because otherwise we're going to have the situation where the judge had already heard a certification hearing on the case prior to the child reaching age 18.
Can the trial court, can the juvenile court on its own motion waive jurisdiction?
I don't believe they can do so, Judge, after we've already had a certification hearing and the judge denied certification, waiving jurisdiction.
Had there not been a hearing, the trial court, the juvenile court,
has well, under that scenario, that certainly is a possibility, but that's not what happened. I guess the argument could be made then is that my client would have been subject to double jeopardy. She already had a certification hearing. This judge already made a finding on the record that they did not sustain its burden to allow a waiver of jurisdiction. Then to allow that to come back and be done again because the child is now over 18 would I think, violate double jeopardy.
But you do concede that at least some instances the juvenile court does have jurisdiction over
it. Yeah, if we had a scenario where the child conduct under 17, nothing happens, and we reach the point where the judge wants to go ahead and waive jurisdiction, they can go forward and do that. They hadn't tried to do it before. But the problem in this case is that they already had.
But the child, even after the child turns 18, the juvenile court has jurisdiction over it.
If it's really, yeah, because it's conduct before 17. And that's the problem we get into. Our position in this case is the court lost jurisdiction at age 18. We believe that it did not change. If the juvenile court's jurisdiction had been properly invoked, the mere fact of her reaching majority, according to the state, does not cause the court to lose jurisdiction. And as I stated, if we take this to a logical conclusion, we've got a real problem. And we could have juvenile jurisdiction going on for significantly longer time. And again, that is something that the legislature feels. We don't have enough time for the juvenile courts to hear these cases. They can address that by changing the date of time. They can raise the age to 19. They can raise the age to 20. But the problem then we run into there is TYT jurisdiction ends at age 21 by their own rules.
Hey, Ms. Paul, I think maybe I didn't understand your answer to Justice Ockham's question.
I'll try to be more clear.
I understood the question to say that there is a statute in the juvenile code that permits the juvenile court to transfer a child to the adult courts after the child reaches 18. And I understood your answer to say that, well, that maybe there's a finding prior to them turning 18.
Well, what we have, Judge, in this case, we already had a hearing.
No. I'm not concerned about anything that happened in this case about the certification.
Okay.
The only thing I'm interested in is there a provision in the statute that permits the juvenile court to transfer a child who turns 18 to the adult courts? Is there such a provision?
I believe that the courts do not have jurisdiction over the children once they reach 18. I don't think that past 18 they can transfer jurisdiction. I don't think they can do anything. But they can't
do it. Even though the statute specifically says 18 or over.
The question is, the question is,
subsection B.
5102?
I don't have the, it's either 54002 or 5204, subsection B.
Well, I'll be happy to look at it and address it. According to what we believe of what the law states, as stated by the legislature, jurisdiction ends at 18. Between 17 and 18, the court has jurisdiction, and they can state, as they did in this case, and they do in many cases, can request certification of the child as an adult so they can be sent to adult court. The issue in this case is whether they could do it again. The answer is clearly no, because that would be double jeopardy. They already tried it, it didn't work. The hypothetical situation of whether they could do it after they're 18, I do not believe that any child can be certified unless there is a hearing and the rules of the juvenile code are followed, as we're attempting to do in this case, and we're unsuccessful.
Convicted juveniles go to TYC.
Not necessarily.
I mean, that
is one of the available options for punishment by a court after a child is adjudicated delinquent. That is the required finding. After they're adjudicated delinquent, the court has a number of choices, the first being giving them probation, sending them home with their parents. The second is giving probation and giving custody to the chief juvenile probation officer, in our case in Harris County, I don't know how it works in smaller counties, and the chief juvenile probation officer then decides an appropriate placement that is controlled by the county, either private or public placement. And the third level of sanctions is adjudication delinquent with custody to the Texas Youth Commission.
So you do agree with the petitioner that if your reading is correct, someone who is not adjudicated before 18 could not be tried for the offense at all.
That's right. I mean, if they have not adjudicated them by age 18, they cannot try them for the offense because they lose jurisdiction. And part of the problem, I think, is just what my discussion with Justice Abbott was, is that the court's punishment options are not just limited to Texas Youth Commission. And the law states that for everything else, after age 18, the juvenile court loses all control and jurisdiction. So in juvenile court, all probations end at age 18. They don't go past that. And the only punishment then is allowed is the Texas Youth Commission. So then we have a scenario, which is certainly possible. If we do what the state wants, we could be trying these kids after age 18, and they don't lose jurisdiction, and the court decides they want to send them and give them probation, can't do it, because under the law, it no longer has control over those children for the purposes of punishment. So then we create an absurdity, meaning that the only option would be either to acquit or to send them to the Texas Youth Commission, which is, I guess, something we probably want to avoid, given the reasoning behind the legislature giving the juvenile judges choices of how to handle our children in juvenile court.
And since TYC loses jurisdiction at age 21,
exactly.
That would mean that we wouldn't be prosecuting any kids who may be 22 or 25.
Well, under their theory, you could prosecute, but you couldn't do anything. So you could be adjudicated delinquent at that age if there wasn't a constitutional speedy trial issue, but there was nothing the court could do to punish them. And I guess you could argue that would still have some significance because of the change in our law that now allows juvenile convictions in certain circumstances to be used for enhancement purposes in adult criminal cases. So there still has some value, I guess, to the state in terms of that if there's future criminal conduct. But in terms of what the punishment would be, what ends at 18 for everything the Texas Youth Commission ends at age 21 for the Texas Youth Commission. And we believe that Mercado is an important decision, and we believe that the change in the law in the 5102 definition of the Texas Family Code was not such that what this court had to say should not be ignored. I know that this court has a lot of respect for the Court of Criminal Appeals. I know that there aren't a lot of cases you all deal with that end up in the same area, and I still haven't figured out how that case ended up over there as opposed to over here.
This is an area of our...
Well, I understand that.
Principally our jurisdiction. Unlike if, for some odd reason, we had a criminal question, and comedy would seem to indicate we should defer to them, even if we might disagree.
Yeah, they have dealt with this, and I understand, and I said kind of unusual that the case ended up over there, because this is where jurisdiction lies on juvenile cases, is with the Supreme Court. We believe that under the circumstances, there is no need for this court to go legislating and to create new rights for the state to get its cases heard within the time period that we believe the statutes have laid out. And we believe that the statute is clear that, based on the definition of child, that what this is a jurisdictional case. It's not a technicality. It's not a legal technicality. It's jurisdictional. And the state, in this instance, had lost jurisdiction. The court had lost jurisdiction to go forward with this case because the child at the time of the trial had already reached the age of 18. They did have opportunities to try this case prior to the child being age 18, and why they didn't, I can't tell you. I said we don't complain that they didn't give the child a speedy trial, but the case had been set for trial a few times before her age of 18, and for whatever reason it didn't get reached. We appeared each time, and we were ready to go to trial. We believe the jurisdictional limits of this case call for this court to sustain what was found by the Court of Appeals and find that in the matter of NJA that the state of Texas has lost jurisdiction.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you, counsel.
Thank you. I'm not sure if my time has expired.
You have 5 minutes.
I have cited on page 8 of my brief a case from the Amarillo Court of Appeals which deals with the situation of an allegation of delay or a claim of lack of speedy trial. So that claim can be made. I am not here before this court continuing. We're getting ready to cross through 22 and 25-year-olds. That is not why I'm here today. This is also not a situation where I think I'm asking this court to legislate. I'm asking this court to construe the statute reasonably. And I I believe that it is reasonable construction of the statute does allow for that 1 year time period as long as the allegation has been made. In their brief.
Would you respond to Mr. Pollock's argument that the only option available for punishment would be to send the child to CYC after the child turns 18, and therefore, since the power of the court with respect to the punishment aspect is limited after the child turns 18, to read the statute the way you want to put the trial court in a very untenable position?
Well, I think if a conduct on the part of a child is serious enough, but perhaps not serious enough to be transferred to adult court, it would still be sufficient to allow the juvenile court to commit someone to protect the juvenile.
So it's okay for the child to be prosecuted in the trial court to only have the option of acquitting or sending the child or committing the child to CYC without any option for probation or any of the other possibilities that would exist before the child turned 18.
Yes, if the
conduct
is considered to be serious enough for commitment to detection, you won't wish. Obviously, that.
Well, I understand, but if the conduct's not serious enough, and the trial court is sitting there saying, "Gosh, I can't acquit, but I really hate to send the child to TYC. What do I do?"
Well, if the conduct is not serious enough for commitment to detection, youth commission, then there is no provision. There is nothing that the juvenile court can do at that point. Except allow for no punishment. I suppose I can't envision.
So, deterrent makes finding that the child engaged in delinquent conduct, but not punish the child.
Right. There is nothing provided for that I'm aware of. I'm trying to work through the various statutory provisions, but I'm not aware because the statute does say that all dispositions terminate at that time, except for the commitment to the case of youth commission, and that was added in 1985 when the decision. I believe that was when the attorney sentencing was set up. So that would be my response. I'm not claiming that this statute is completely one hole of law, that there are no holes. I mean, I'm not aware of any statutory scheme of the legislature to create something where there aren't possibilities, and that's why we have courts to allow for interpretations. But again, I'm not asking this court to legislate. I'm not asking this court to look beyond what the clear, plain meaning of the statute says. And it says that the juvenile court still maintains jurisdiction under 5104A if the individual is no child under 51021, either A or B. And it states contention that this juvenile defendant was a child under 5102-1B because the juvenile court jurisdiction had been properly invoked, that the allegation had been made before the child turned 18. There is, under any possibility of appeal, no allegation of delay or lack of diligence on the part of the state or the trial court. So in that situation, the juvenile court can and should maintain jurisdiction. The respondents have relied, lastly, upon some cases, and when the cases are reversed on appeal after the juvenile turns 18, that is based on this court's decision in Carrillo. I believe it's decided, but I'm not positive. 48 Southwest 712.
Any other questions?
Question for the statute.
One quick one. Before a juvenile is sent to TYC, are there certain statutory prerequisites that must be satisfied concerning the type of conduct that the juvenile engages in? In other words, could a juvenile steal a stick of gum and be sent to TYC? Or does it define that the crime must be one involving, robbery or more serious type?
I don't believe, certainly appeals can be made with regard to the sufficiency of a trial court or the abuse of discretion on the part of the trial court in committing someone to TYC. But I'm not aware of any specific statutory provisions delineating specific offenses that are solely for TYC, and these aren't. Quote-unquote serious enough. There is that provision with regard to transfer to the adult court certain offenses, depending on the age of the child.
Okay, thank you.
I believe the statute we've been looking at will be 2402J.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel. That concludes the argument in the first case.
All right.